So, last week, Pastor Chris told us that living in Christ is like changing our clothes. We put off the old self, and we put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And the Apostle Paul puts it even more succinctly in his letter to the Colossian church. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put on Christ. But even when we are wearing these new clothes that Christ has given us in the new life that he gives us, we're still not fully dressed. We're not totally ready. Because we are in a battle, and we need to dress for that battle. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We think, and it sure feels like, we are battling with each other. Whether it's that coworker that irritates us, or the friend that betrays us, or bad drivers, you know? It's like we're in a battle. We feel like we are fighting with people who hurt and annoy us every day. But this battle is actually not about flesh and blood people. This is a spiritual battle. There are seen and unseen forces that oppose God. They're called here rulers and authorities, powers and principalities. We spend so much energy trying to protect ourselves from people who might hurt us or annoy us. But we need to make ourselves aware of the real battle, the real enemy. And I know we'd probably rather not think and talk about the devil, because we don't want to be that weird Christian who's like overly focused on evil. And I'm not encouraging us to be more focused on God's enemy than on God himself. But if we are completely unaware, oblivious of the devil's schemes, then we are very vulnerable, unprotected, unprepared. And worse, we are attacking each other unaware of the real enemy. So if the battle is spiritual, then we need spiritual armor. Starting in verse 14, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation." So far, all of our equipment is defensive. Belt, body armor, shoes, shield, and helmet. And notice that we are not instructed to run out and attack, but the goal is to stand, to stand firm. The command to stand is four times just in those few verses. My son takes martial arts. He does Kimudo, and you know, they're always, I can't walk away from the mic, they're always telling them to kind of bend their knees, and they practice a nice solid stance, kind of like this, right? Something like that. It's really important when you are defending yourself to have a solid stance. So we're to stand. Even with the enemy of God attacking us, we stand firm, and we are protected by God's truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation. Paul continues, "Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people." So there's only one offensive piece in our spiritual armor, and it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. What this means is that the sword is the good news of new life in Jesus Christ, and the Spirit empowers the sword. So believers who are outfitted with the sword of the Spirit are empowered with the good news. So we only have one weapon, but it's a good one, and it's basically prayer. And of course, we have to remember that our battle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We always need to remind ourselves of that. Our weapon is prayer. Prayer that is rooted in the good news of Jesus Christ, and prayer that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. John 8 tells us that the devil is called the father of lies, the ultimate liar. Revelation 12 calls the evil one the accuser. Says the accuser of our brothers and sisters accuses them before God day and night. So those flaming arrows from the devil may be the reminders of our very real sins and failures, and maybe all kinds of lies to discourage and distract us. We need to be rooted in God's grace and love in Jesus, confident that our mistakes do not have the last word. We need to be rooted in God's love and power, confident that the story is not over and that evil will not prevail. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to keep on praying and then keep on praying and keep on praying and never give up praying for all the Lord's people. So when the accuser reminds you of your failures or mistakes, when the father of lies gets you discouraged, remind yourself of God's grace through Jesus Christ and pray for all of God's people everywhere to stand firm in the Holy Spirit. Paul says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power." We were dead in our sins, but God's truth about who you are and who he is protects you. God's righteousness is now yours by faith. God's peace that passes all understanding is yours. God's faithfulness, whether your faith is strong at the moment or not, and God's salvation, God's love demonstrated through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of this armor of God surrounds you and protects you. He has claimed you as his very own. No failure or fear or doubt can separate you from the love of Christ. Clothe yourselves with Christ. Put on the power of God that you may stand firm. Amen.